Two for the price of one, and it's all about family. Jack Hughes, talking about his brothers, joins us from New Jersey, and Dave Lowry, the head coach of the Winnipeg Jets, discussing the dynamics of coaching his son, Adam, in the NHL. It's The Chirp with Darren Millard.
Connaught, Connaught. Going once, going twice, sold. Connaught.
That's a disgrace! That's a disgrace! What a joke! What are you going to do?
You! You guys are sensitive over there.
There's no real modern ties to this, but I'm going to go with family. We are family, or family ties. Alex P. Keaton, kids, Google it. Look it up. It's an awesome show. Way back in the day. But that's what the theme is today. Jack, the middle Hughes brother, one of three Hughes first-round draft choices, will join us. A spectacular conversation is coming up. And Dave Lowry, dad to Jets forward Adam. And we should also mention, Dave is the Winnipeg Jets coach. Yeah, so you're doing the connection there, and you're going, okay, dad's behind the bench, Adam's playing. How does that work out? Family dynamics and a whole bunch of hockey talk, starting with Jack Hughes, who's back from a shoulder injury and is ripping it up. Looking forward to both these conversations, starting with Jack, who knows his social media. Well, that was a first. I can tell we got somebody who's in tune with social media, because Jack, you're the first person to ever clean the camera before you come on. Everybody else is foggy, looking like they're underwater. Well done.
Yeah, thanks, boys. I don't know whose computer this is, but it looks like it needed a bit of a cleaning. So.
How do you feel since coming back? Because you look fantastic. Are you 100%?
In terms of my shoulder, I feel pretty good. You know, it's like definitely an injury, though, where it's like takes you a few games to get back into it. More with like just seeing if you're 100%, and like, you know, you don't want to take a huge hit and get injured again, but feel good. And then obviously since the coming out of the Christmas break, I feel really good, feel pretty refreshed mentally. And, you know, I've had a good start and our team's been winning some games. So, in terms of my shoulder, I feel good. And then, you know, I like where my games are right now.
So how close are you being able to pull off what Cale Makar did?
Man, like we were on the plane last night watching that, and like I'm a Quinn Hughes fan, and coming into the league it was Quinn, Makar, and Fox. But you know, watching that, you know, he's an extremely special player, and there's not many guys in the league that can do that. Maybe in terms of skating it goes McDavid than him. So I don't want to give him too much high praise, but you know, he's a extremely special player, and not a guy I watch that much, but he's obviously got a pretty crazy highlight package.
Do you text Quinn and say, your turn?
I don't know. I mean, Makar is probably the top D in the league right now, just in terms of the way he skates and how powerful he is. So I think Quinn's a lot different than that. But, you know, they're both two great players, really special. But I know Quinn loves watching him play. So that was definitely something where I was like, wow, that was a pretty crazy goal.
Impressive. What has Quinn said about what's going on in Vancouver under Gabby and the turnaround?
Yeah, they're doing really well. You know, I don't know. I don't know if it's just a breath of fresh air with a new coach or the guys are starting to click. But yeah, obviously they're back in the playoff mix. I think they were 8-14 and something. And now they're above 500. So what they've done, be able to climb back in the playoff mix, it's really good. You know, their best players are being their best players right now, and that's helping them get to where they want to go.
How about your team? Can you make a run at this thing?
Listen, I mean, I'm not going to say no. I think we got a good group in this locker room. We just got to sort some things out. We went in a really tough stretch leading up to the Christmas break where we were really struggling, and that break couldn't come soon enough. But at the same time, we're playing better hockey now. We've been dealing, just like everyone else in the league, we've been dealing with COVID and a lot of injuries, which is frustrating. We haven't had a full lineup much this year, but I think we got a good squad here, and we got to make a push.
How many of your teammates will ask you for your skills coach number?
No, I mean, it's good. We got a good group here.
Come on. How many guys have asked?
It ain't really like that though. It's different. Like my game's going to be different than a lot of people's games. I think the guy that's probably got the craziest skills coach is Jesper Bratt. That guy, his skill is pretty outrageous. So, he's a special player skill wise, but for me, it's, I got a pretty simple recipe back home.
What's the most out there drill that you've ever been asked to do, at a summer skill session, whether like some guys have to skate on one foot or different things with their sticks. So what, and you kind of raise your eyebrows and go, okay, now I get it. But, what's the thing that kind of got your attention the most?
I don't know. I mean, I used to do that Power Edge Pro, still do a bit of that. There's obviously some crazy stuff, but you know, for me, I'm pretty simple. I still skate with my dad. That's my skills coach there. And we got a good group in Michigan, but you know, I do extremely simple stuff. A lot of edge work around nets, game like things, not really skating coach type stuff or skills coach. It's all pretty game related, where it's working on something specific. So I can't say it's anything too crazy. It's pretty simple recipe for me. And that's been working for me this year.
Do you ever play yourself in a video game?
Yeah, I did when I first came into the league, and I have my boys doing that too, and they're still in college. But I don't know. I haven't even touched my Xbox in like 2 years, so I haven't been playing NHL much.
Hold on. It's like been the most downtime in the world's history the last 2 years, and you haven't touched the Xbox?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I like to do different things. I like to just hang out with the guys. I actually like reading books a lot. More of a Netflix guy probably than Xbox, so pretty low key like that.
Oh, what books do you read? Fiction, autobiographies? What's your into thing?
I read like sports books. You know, a huge sports guy, obviously, whether it's basketball, football. Read a lot about like Phil Jackson. Like he's got this book 11 Rings that I really liked. Reading this book called Three Rings Circus right now about them, with Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe. So I don't know. I like sports books, just like learning about that. It's not always motivational, but you know, I'm a huge sports guy, so it's pretty fun to read about that.
Yeah. I tried to do this while you were talking, but I couldn't because it was too noisy, but I got this. This is the one that I last read. It's called Intangibles, by Joan Ryan. Pick this one up. It's all about chemistry and whether chemistry is real. Or does winning create chemistry? Does chemistry create winning? You know, that whole dilemma.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. It's mostly about baseball, so it doesn't get too deep into hockey, but Barry Bonds and all that kind of stuff. What's your thought on chemistry? Does it happen first or second?
No, chemistry's in our sport, at least, I think it's really important. You know, you see it with the top lines, like guys that play together for 3-4 years in a row. They just kind of have a sense of where their other line mates are going to be. It makes the game a lot easier. So I think in terms of like our sport and chemistry and playing with the same players consistently, it's going to help for sure.
When it comes to the shootout, are you chomping at the bit to get out there?
Yeah, I like love shootouts. We haven't had too many this year that I've been playing in. I remember my first year, though, we were in like 10, and I was a measly 2-for-13, which really pisses me off. So I want to be able to, you know, have more shootouts and be able to get that percentage up. But, you know, I love working on that in the summer, just doing tricks and moves, but want to eventually become a bit of a shootout ace.
I won't ask you for what you're working on right now, but do you like the traditional play or do you like coming up with something a little more new age?
I don't know. I'm in between for sure. I'm definitely not like Zegras, like going to be flipping pucks, you know, over the goalie's head for assists, if you're asking like that.
Yeah. Why not?
You know, I think like there's guys that would rather like one sick assist than like three solid assists, you know? And for me, like, I'd rather just produce. And if, like, it's going to be something sick, then I'll do that. But if it's just going to be, like, sliding over the empty net, like, I'm going to take the assist, you know. So I'm not going to overthink it and do something outrageous. But, you know, obviously I'm pretty – like, the fans think I'm a pretty exciting player, and they like my game and my creativeness. And obviously I like to hoop it up with the Cellies, so I'll go there. But, you know, eventually I want to score some sick goals, and I think I have some nice ones under my belt so far.
Where did the celebration come from? Like, the tossing the twig and –
I don't even know, to be honest. I'll tell you what, though. I scored the OT goal against Edmonton the other night, and people around here are pretty pissed I didn't chuck it over the stands again. So I don't know. I don't know if that's, like, a obnoxious thing if you keep doing that, but I don't know. I think it's pretty cool, like, almost like a walk-off in baseball, you know, something like that. So I don't want to get, like, obnoxious with it, but I think it's, like, I would keep doing it for sure. I think it's a pretty sick sell, you know? Why not?
Do you have, if you're not tossing the stick, what's your favorite way to party up a goal?
Probably, like, one knee down, hoop it up. That's pretty basic, though. So I think the stick over the glass was definitely trademarked a bit. And then I know Z did that, so that was pretty funny.
I always feel bad for what happened in Anaheim, and Sonny Milano never gets any credit for that goal.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, it's special what Z did. Like, that's the play. But for Sonny to take that, like, out of the air, that's pretty tough to do, too. You know, you could have easily missed that puck, and it's not a highlight reel goal. But I think at the end of the day, that's all Z. But, like, anything he does isn't really surprising, at least for us program guys that played with him, because he's just, like, a really funny dude. One of those guys that just loves the game and is super creative. So that was a pretty wild goal for sure.
How's your setup at home? Y'all like feeling like you're a veteran guy?
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely different here for sure. You know, we don't really have that veteran group that's been around for a while, like most teams in the league do. You know, we got a really young group here. A lot of guys in their early 20s. So, you know, I'm in terms of experience, I'm definitely at the front end with a lot of our young guys. So it's different, but, you know, I'm in a pretty good setup here. And I think we're building something really special here in New Jersey.
Did you know Tom was going to propose the contract extension when he called you?
I had an idea. Like, we were in talks a bit. You know, like, I came out of the gates pretty strong, you know, with my first four periods or whatever it was. And then obviously I got injured. So then throughout the injury, I think that was a consistent thing, where we were talking about it, and then it kind of went away, and then I was leading up to playing, and then, you know, I wanted to get something done. They wanted to get something done. And then, yeah, like nothing was really certain. It was like I knew they wanted to get it done, and then, like, I was going to bed because I was playing the next night. It was my first game back, it was going to be. And then so I went to bed, and I woke up, and I had, like, missed calls from Pat and text. And then, like, when I woke up, it was like the deal was done, and all I had to do was say yes. So it was like obviously I wasn't going to say no to that. So I was pretty pumped up, and I was extremely thankful to David Blitzer and Josh Harris for believing in me. And, you know, I believe in what we're doing in New Jersey here, but it was definitely like a crazy day because I woke up and the deal was done. And then I went to the rink morning skate and I practiced, and then I signed the deal. And then I was going out and playing my first game in 2 months or whatever it was. So it was obviously a lot going on. And I mean, I was definitely fired up. I probably thought I was going to have like Hattie that night, because I was pretty juiced, but ended up going pointless and a loss, so that wasn't exactly it.
Who did you tell first outside of your family?
I talked to Z about it, actually, and I talked to a buddy from home about it, but, like, honestly, like, I didn't even have time to talk to anyone, because, like I said, I woke up, and then the deal was done, and then I pregame napped, and then I went out and played. And then, like, during, like, it was like for a 7 o'clock game. And I think the news broke at six. So like, obviously my phone blew up after the game and during the game, but you know, I didn't really have a chance to talk to any of my buddies about it because like, I was just so busy and it happened so fast.
Did your teammates know?
No, like I was pretty low key about it. I told my roommate Ty Smith, obviously, you know, I didn't want there to be an elephant in the room when a big bomb dropped like that. And he didn't know, you know, I would have been weird. So I told him like during our pregame meal, like after it happened, just told him to keep it quiet until the news broke. So I think they wanted to, you know, it to be a perfect storm of me coming back and playing and the deal getting done. And they wanted the fans to hear from the team first. So I was pretty quiet about it.
That's amazing. Sitting on that. No wonder you were hopping.
Well, like I was smiling like ear to ear, like, and guys were like, you can't be that pumped to be coming back playing. But like, I don't know. It was a great day. You know, my parents flew in, came and watched the game. And so it was awesome. And I that was a great day. I'll remember.
What are you watching on Netflix right now?
Yeah, like I'm kind of in a show hole right now. You know what a show hole is?
Yeah, where you don't have anything to watch?
Yeah. So yeah. People want to send me some recommendations to go for it. But I've watched some good shows. Like I love Game of Thrones. That was sick. Peaky Blinders is probably my favorite. Friday Night Lights I like. So kind of watch those over if I need to.
I've never felt so old when somebody says, do you know what that is? throwing that at me. You got to watch firsthand and the reaction to your brother being drafted the New Jersey Devils. That was just a spectacular organic moment.
Yeah, like I know like media people obviously love that emotion, but like if I could take it back, I would.
Why?
Well, like it was a lot, obviously, but at the same time, like it's like people don't understand how hard it is to happen, you know, like especially when your bro is like a top five kid, like so much things have to line up for that to happen. Like it's not just like we could pick him in the third or fourth round and then he was on the team. Like the kid was the fourth overall pick, you know, like he's an elite player. So for that to line up, that was like crazy hard. And I knew how hard it was with me and Quinn going through it first. But yeah, like that was, I think those in-home drafts are sick, man. Like that was sick. Like we were like on the golf course till like from like noon to five. And then we like came home and then the draft was on and then we were all like so nervous. And then we were just like, then he got picked obviously by the Devils and we didn't know he was going to go to the Devils either. It was like a complete shock when he did. So it was a crazy day of nerves and emotions, but when it finally happened, everyone was so pumped.
Would you rather have known that the Devils were going to take him?
I don't know. I mean,
would you have been able to keep it a secret?
I could have kept it a secret. Yeah. I mean, I don't have loose lips, so I would have definitely kept it a secret so Luke could enjoy the moment, obviously, because it's all about him. But would I have liked to known? Yeah, it would have been nice. But I know how the Devils work. Like,
yeah.
It was the same way when I got drafted, you know, I didn't really know until they actually called my name. So I think the whole way it was like, we had an idea, like obviously they were extremely interested. But you know, like maybe he went three to Anaheim. We didn't know that. And then he was there at four. Like I remember when Buffalo picked Owen, we were like clapping and then Maddie went two to Seattle and we were clapping. And then Anaheim went and we were like, hoping it wasn't Luke and we were like then it wasn't we were clapping and then like when four came up like the whole room like 100 people went dead quiet and we were like here it comes like oh man and there wasn't a peep and then they called Luke and we were like then the place went nuts so it was pretty sick.
First time ever somebody was hoping they didn't go at three.
Yeah I know like would have been crazy like if you told like us that at 12 years old like we'd be like are you kidding me but you know, like we dreamed of playing in the NHL with our brothers and, you know, for me and Luke to get the opportunity to do that eventually. It's just so special and something not a lot of bros have been able to do. So we're fortunate that it's going to happen.
When the time comes, does Ty move out and Luke move in?
Yeah. had to have that talk with him this year. I said, I think this is the last dance, bro. This might be it. So
how'd you take it?
I don't know. Like, we were at dinner with our buddies and a couple of people, and it was like kind of like a bomb drop. Like, he was kind of like not shook, but like definitely rattled about it a bit. But I'm like, man, like, it is what it is. Eventually Luke's going to be here, and I'm gonna live with him or get my own spot. Like, I just signed a new 8-year deal. I'm going to get my own spot eventually here next year.
Yeah.
Like, it is what it is. This is a great 2 years with him though, for sure.
Yeah. Just tell him it's not him. It's you.
Exactly.
Space. Yeah. Yeah. Still be friends, all that kind of stuff. This has been so much fun. Really appreciate it. And make sure when you hand the computer back, you tell whoever's laptop it is, keep your camera clean.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Jack is getting paid with that big time extension coming off his entry level deal. And the New Jersey Devils, stumbling start, but you see signs of it. And you see what Jack Hughes does. Like, he just drives all the analytics and then the eye test, and they come together. He's done the impossible. He's brought analytics and the eye test and put them in the same bowl. And that doesn't always happen just because he's that good. Awesome stuff with Jack, even though he kind of threw some shade at me about being old. Show hole. Of course I know what a show hole is. Like, who doesn't know what a show hole is? We've all been there, Jack. From brothers playing together or down the road playing together with Jack and Luke to a father-son on the same bench. In this case, in Winnipeg, it's Dave and Dad behind the bench and Adam on it and getting some ice time. They are the story. The Lowrys are the story in the Peg right now. Dave just took over from Paul Maurice, who resigned the head coaching position, and Dave is now coaching his son in the National Hockey League. Hasn't happened since the early 90s. We talk about that, plus just the whole dynamics of coaching and one of the underrated players in the National Hockey League as we catch up with Dave on an off day in the National Hockey League, hanging out in Denver. Continue with this this family edition with Dave Lowry. Let's get into the jet situation first, and then into you and Adam. But how far in advance did you know that you were going to be taking over that team?
To be perfectly honest, I found out Thursday around 5:30, the night before. I was at home, and my wife was flying into Winnipeg, and I was actually setting an alarm. So I wouldn't, it was 4:40. I was setting an alarm for 5:30 so I could have a quick nap before I went to the airport to pick her up. And Chevy calls me. And I'm like, oh, damn. This isn't usually a good call. I'm not, and really, I don't know what to expect, right?
Yeah.
He goes, can you come by the office? I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, can you come by the office? I said, well, how quick do you need me? He goes, right away. I'm like, yeah, okay. I think he goes, you're not getting fired, but I need to talk to you. So I kind of like, now I'm scrambling, right, to get over there. It's a 5-minute walk, but it's a long 5 minutes.
I bet. So you immediately went to, because coaches are thought to be a little bit on edge, and the general manager calls and he says, you're not being fired. Then what's running through your head during that walk?
Why does he want to talk? Like, I had no idea. Like, I'm scrambling. I'm like, I'm trying to figure, I can't come up with anything. Right. And I'm like, I really have no idea what the heck's going on, but you know, then I sit down and that's when he relayed the news.
Did you see any signs that was coming from Paul?
None at all. And that's why the whole thing is super, it was super shocking. And that's why everybody was surprised, and it caught everybody off guard. You know, I thought Paul was in a great mood that day. He was, you know, it was an open practice. We had a bunch of fans in. He was vocal. He was having fun. And next thing I know, he's walking away.
Who picked up Mama then?
Well, I fortunate enough, her flight was delayed long enough that I was able to get there. And it's funny, right? She's just landed. She turns on her phone and she's got a congratulations from Paul's wife. And she's like, she's texting me now. She's going, what the heck's going on? She said, well, you better grab your bags and get out here and I'll tell you. But so she had no idea, right? And
yeah,
well, it was like I said, it caught everybody by surprise.
So how do you flip the switch from assistant to head coach, and or do you have to?
For me personally, I don't think I had to flip a switch. This is who I am, right? And I'm not going to change. And I like to communicate. I like to talk to the players. And I did that in a supportive role with Paul. The only difference now is I manage the ice time. And, you know, the relationships are still going to be there. I want to be a guy that players enjoy playing for. I like to have a relaxed environment, but when it's time to play, it's time to play.
Does that come from your experience in major junior hockey and working with kids and having to almost make it a little bit more fun?
Well, I think what you have to create an environment where guys want to come to the rink. And I'm not saying that that wasn't the case here in Winnipeg, but that's something that that I've always believed in. If you dread going to the rink, it's really going to be hard to perform. And you know, I've been in that spot as a player, and you know, it's not a lot of fun. And I like to enjoy doing what I do, and I want my staff to enjoy coming to the rink. I like them to, you know, enjoy interacting. I like the banter. I like, you know, the banter we have in the coach's room. I like it to carry over with the players, and I really believe that's how you connect with them.
Is Dave Lowry a chirper in the room?
You know, he might be able to hold his own.
Do you start it?
A little bit more careful now. Let me say.
Yes, yes. Yeah, guaranteed on that. But do you start things? Are you the first guy to give a jab to somebody coming in the room, or do you respond? Are you quick-witted going the other way?
Well, I think, you know, if it's warranted, it might be when they walk into a room. But, you know, I can go back and forth. I can play that table tennis.
Yeah. The Paul Maurice and the press conferences are legendary. Did you feel pressure going into that thing?
Well, I'm not going to write, and it's not going to be a storybook answer for every question. And I think I really caught some of our guys off guard the first couple press conferences. It was one word answer, two word answers, and they're looking and they're waiting for more. And I'm like, sorry, this is all I have. Right. So the answers are getting a little longer. It's, you know, I'm a little bit more comfortable. Like I said, I was caught off guard. I was totally unprepared for this. And, you know, we're getting a little bit more comfortable in what's going on now.
I liked your answer the other day when they asked about a couple of lineup decisions. And you said, I'm not going to tell you our whole lineup. You got right in front of it.
Well, you know, and you know, I give them credit. You know, yeah. they actually are paying attention to what we're doing in practice and all that. And it used to be like, guys, we'd just go up there, have a conversation, and then there'd be one person watching, and you know, he'd ask the question, everyone else would get the answer. So it's just, you know, they are paying attention. They are, you know, making good use of their time.
I always thought it was cool that you took the job in Brandon with the Wheat Kings and Adam was down the road. And that was such great synergy. Did you talk to Adam before you took the job in Winnipeg then about being the father-son coaching staff player?
Actually, yes. And as ironic as it was, I left Brandon, and it was April 1st. When the season was ended and it was going to be paused, and then the end of the season, and I had not been back to Brandon, and we had gone through an ownership change. Kelly McCrimmon had sold the team, and the new owner kept asking Darren Ritchie, who was the GM at the time, "Where's my coach? Where's my coach? When's my coach coming?" And I just kept telling him that, you know, you give me a firm date when we're going to get started, and I'll be there. You know, you can do a lot of work remotely. So just to appease Jared, the new owner, I brought my staff in the first week of November, and we were actually in meetings planning for the year to start. And I got a call from Adam, and he said, "You're going to get a call from Paul." I said, okay. He goes, "He wants to know if you'd have any interest." I said, "Well, what are your thoughts?" And he said, "Well, you know, I really don't care." Like, I don't have, like, it's not going to bother me one way or another. So I said, okay. So I hung up the phone. I went back in and carried on my meeting. And now I'm going, okay. So Paul calls and I leave the meeting and we have a quick conversation. And the one thing I wanted to make perfectly clear is that I wanted to have more than a 2-minute conversation with Adam first. I wanted Paul to make sure he knew exactly what he could be opening up. And he said, no, you know, fully supportive. Everybody understands that, you know, it's not like Adam is a first year player. He's an established player in the league. And it's not like it was my first coaching job. So the professional side of it, everybody's been outstanding.
So Adam was your agent?
He should have been.
Did he get 10%?
Yeah, yeah. Well, is that what they charge now?
I stopped it. I started going. I had too much trouble writing the check. I know that much. Yeah. What? So does it change at all that you're the head coach at all? Like, is it? I don't even know what the relationship is like, Dave.
You know, it is, and really, and I say this honestly is. I think the biggest compliment that we can have is from the players that are within our room. They always say that they don't even know that we're father son. It is, you know, it's business, and you know you have to be kind of aware of this. And you know, I am fully aware of the situation. Mm-hmm. But when we're working, we're working. This is business, and there's a lot at stake, and nobody on the inside has any issues. And the only questions really are from the outside and what's it like and how does it, how do you handle it? He gets handled just like he's another player. And he gets, you know, we have standards and I hold guys accountable and he's no different.
You know why it's fascinating is because we watch it all the time in youth sports and the impact and whether it's perceived or in actuality or not. And then to see it at a professional level is like, wow, this can really happen there. How often did you coach Adam growing up?
Well, we spent a lot of time in spring. You know, I spent time with Adam, with his brother, Joel. You know, we ran, you know, I was coaching two teams in spring hockey. And then, you know, I still to this day run ice sessions and skates for pros and their buddies. And, you know, I was fortunate. I got to coach Adam's first year Pee Wee. And you know, he was the only first year on the team it was a lockout. I think it was a lockout in 05.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I was going to retire once everything was done there. So I had lots of time. And, you know, it was a really fun year where, you know, these kids, I found ice every, I'd get up every morning and call all the rinks, go online, try and find available ice. And, you know, we had these guys on the ice 6 days a week and it was, you know, it was a lot of fun and unfortunate for him, right? Like I would coach these guys and work with them in the spring and we were real, you know, we ran really hard practices and it was all about the conditioning side, about learning how to be, or how you're going to have to work to get to the next level. And the poor guys would come to the ice and, you know, would be practices would be hard and there'd be a lot of conditioning. And then they go into the gym and Adam's mom was running the spin classes and they couldn't get away from their mom and dad. And I'm like, you know, I felt sorry for them a lot of times, but you know, it's worked out for them.
How's mom with this whole dynamics now?
She's good with it. Right. And, you know, she understands. The one thing is she gets to see one of her kids a little bit more.
Yeah. Do you think it stops being a story or will always be kind of out there?
Well, I think people are always going to have, you know, you're always going to have questions. But I think if you ask anybody inside our locker room, you'll get the same answer that I gave you, that, you know, he's just another player. He's one of 23.
You guys are going in a good direction right now.
I like the way that we've come together. You know, we've played with a little more urgency. Our goaltender has been very good. Our special teams are starting to trend in the right direction. So, you know, if we can continue to push and find ways to win hockey games, we'll be pleased.
The identity of your team has evolved from Buff back in the day, Connor, Hellebuck, Shifley, Wheeler, but Kyle Connor is, I don't know whether anybody appreciates truly when they go watch him in person, what they're going to see.
Well, I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league. And I really believe, you know, the market that we're in, he doesn't get enough recognition league-wide. If he was in one of the bigger centers, you'd know who he was. But as a fan going in and watching him play, you know, he's very dynamic. He's an exciting player. He's an explosive player, and he's a lot of fun to watch. But, you know, he's a great person to coach as well.
And he's so skinny. That's the part that gets me going with the hair and the skinny. And then he just goes down and blitzes you.
We call that wiry.
Hey, how much time did you spend in Manitoba before you did the whole Brandon Winnipeg thing? Because you're a true blue guy now.
That's right. And it is, you know, it's funny how it, I went there knowing that I wasn't going to end my coaching career in Brandon. Mm-hmm. It was an opportunity that something that being in this business that you miss out a lot is being able to watch your kids compete or whatever they're doing in their lives in season. And, you know, Brandon being 215 away, we were able to get in and watch a few more games live. But once again, you know, being a parent, I don't like, and you know what, quite honestly, we felt bad calling saying, hey, can you get your mom and dad a couple tickets tonight? So it was just, you know, the option was there. It was nice to be able to drive in. But we really still want to keep our distance. And we've always been very respectful of that.
That's amazing. You've gone from asking him for tickets to being behind the bench and now running the bench.
Now he's asking me for my tickets.
And you give it to him.
Yeah, we don't know very many people there. So, you know, yeah, if you need them, they're there for you, right?
Oh, don't say you don't know many people in Winnipeg because they'll be knocking on your door no time flat. This has been tons of fun. Good cat. I haven't seen you in person in a long time since you were coaching the World Junior team. In fact, that I think that's the last time in Toronto when you were with Crim. So this has been tons of fun. And keep up the good work and say hi to Chevy and Zinger and all the gang there.
We'll do that. And thanks a lot for having me. Great catching up.
That was so cool. Loved it. And notice Dave didn't like take any shots about me being old or anything like that, asking if I knew any terminology. It's just it was same age, same era right there. I don't know about you, but did your stomach drop a little bit when he was talking about getting the call from his general manager, his boss, saying, hey, you got to come over here. How soon can you get there? And that 5-minute walk. And even by then, he knew he wasn't being let go. But at the time, the Jets weren't going great, and there's changes that do happen. And well, if your stomach didn't do just a little bit of a flip flop, then I give you all the credit in the world, and I wish I had your gumption. Mike Sullivan at the Rink Podcast, another head coach joining the guys, Dan and company over there, so discussing the Pittsburgh Penguins and what they've been able to do this year. It's been really impressive, and they're getting contributions all over the lineup, and I love talking to Mike Sullivan. Disappointed for him at the Olympic Games announcement, looking for a big thing. Guys won a couple of cups and just grooving with the Pittsburgh Penguins, been able to take star-studded rosters, expected to succeed rosters, and then the last couple of years trying to create something and still be competitive in the National Hockey League. And he's always a great conversation. So that's over at the Rink. And also want to mention on this podcast where we deal with so many family dynamics, Ed Olczyk was on last week. If you didn't hear it, make sure you go back and listen to it because of the family connections. And he held up this beautiful picture of his mom on his wedding day and just got into everything from the emotion of your mom. And we all have our moms and we all have this connection to our moms and what she did for him growing up. But also, like, just... she introduced him to hockey and he kind of stepped in it a couple of times when it came to shooting on his mom and her teaching him how to score and how difficult it was to score on her. It's what I don't want to ruin it, but it'll make you laugh out loud. I guarantee it. So that's Eddie Olczyk last week on the Chirp, the Winter Classic edition. He wasn't able to be there in Minnesota due to COVID protocol, and we missed him dearly on the broadcast, but we recorded it just before he got the news that he wouldn't be going to Minneapolis, St. Paul. And it's still because it kind of devolved into this whole conversation about growing up and what his family was able to do. So that, check those two out, At the Rink podcast with Mike Sullivan and Eddie Olczyk on last week's Chirp. Dad coaching his son and a brother kicking out his roommate so his younger brother can move in. That's how I sum up this episode of the Chirp. Thanks for listening, and we'll chat with you next week on the Chirp podcast with Darren Millard.